These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Telling you, this roster, and Bill said too, that the roster always is in flux at the beginning of the year, especially the first 2 or 3 weeks, mm-hmm. as they settle in and make deals. You know, they'll continue to look to bring people in. Maybe something didn't come to be with the one that they wanted, and maybe they're working on something else. But I have no doubt that they're bringing somebody in. No doubt.
No doubt in your mind.
No doubt.
I love that.
I don't know anything.
I love this take from you. This is a strong...
Because you can't, you know...
You're adamant about this.
Okay, usually we play Beadle and Zoe making fun of Agenda Free Friday, but why not just play a straight take from Zoe today on the midday, who says he's convinced the Patriots are still bringing in a receiver. Maybe the one that they had just slipped through their fingers before the season, but that's still on the table. So that's a jump-off point, because I know Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe, who joins us now in our Town Fair Tire Studio, wants to talk about this. Chris Gasper is brought to you by our friends at MGH, Mass General Hospital. Gasper, your thoughts on the Patriots and the receiving corps?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've talked about this a lot, and I still feel that it's subpar. But what's interesting to me is take what Zoe said out of it, and it sounds like that's bringing in a legitimate wide receiver, like a guy who's proven that he can play in the league. But if they're not able to do that, and one of these guys they picked up off the scrap heap or that they released and then brought back, like a Riley McCarron. So if Riley McCarron, Chad Hansen, or Jace Billingsley, who I know you're very familiar with.
Who was that last guy?
So he's a guy that out of Eastern Oregon. He's sort of in the Danny Woodhead, Julian Edelman mold. He was with the Lions.
That feels like a remark.
He's with the Lions the last couple of years. And they had him on the practice squad. He didn't make their roster there with Patricia. And now he's on the Patriots practice squad. He's their type of guy. He's quick. He can. Why are you laughing?
I just feel you're making an illusion, but that's okay.
I'm not making an illusion. He's their type of guy.
Slot guy.
Quick. Floppy haircut. You know. That's an illusion. Anyways,
Eastern Oregon.
If one of these guys pops, which could happen, then what we'll hear is, well, you know, they knew all along that they were all set at this position. They were good at this position. Bill went out. This was the master plan. It all worked out. Receivers are easy to find. They're the new running backs. And it's like, no, that's not the case. That's not the truth. They're on about plan E. And this is where I think a lot of times the credit that Bill deserves, and he deserves it. Be clear, he deserves the credit.
As a coach.
I think it gets misplaced because he doesn't get the credit for being able to adapt or solve a problem better than anybody else. It just becomes, oh, he's never wrong. It's all part of the master plan. And I think what could happen is one of those type of guys could end up playing for this team this year and playing some sort of role. And people will say, what a find. Oh, my God, it's unbelievable. They did it again. Sometimes you end up with a Malcolm Butler or a Danny Woodhead. Those guys were legitimate finds. Like, nobody else discovered or unearthed those guys, and they were really good NFL players. But then you also have what I call Gary Guyton syndrome, which is the Patriots have a glaring need. They pick up a guy either off the scrap heap or he's an undrafted free agent. He ends up playing for them, and he's not a real find. He's just the best they have at the time. And I think you've seen that before, too.
Eric Lee last year.
Hell, it happened. I'm just going to say that, Murray. It did happen last year. Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
No, Eric Lee, Johnson Bademosi, Marquise Flowers, are any of those guys still there? No, look, and I know Bademosi signed with Houston as a free agent, and Jordan Richards was a second-round pick, but when they were plugging all those guys in last year, are any of those guys still here?
No.
So that tells you how they feel about those guys and their talent level. So even though they played last year, and they were, like, Marquise Flowers was never a find. He was just the best they could find at the time, and they coached him up like
coached
hell,
him up.
Which
him
is
up.
What they do.
Exactly. Coached them up. Plan A at receiver was Jordan Matthews, Malcolm Mitchell, or, you know, who all the guys they cut, you know, that they either thought were going
Kenny
to be.
Britt.
Kenny Britt
was a definite plan A guy.
That was the other kind
Kenny
of guy.
Britt.
The guys that they thought were going to pan out that were signed, that were on the team, who either got hurt or sucked or combinations of both. And so they whiffed on all those guys, and now we're left with the Chase Billingsleys.
Oh, he's Chase. Yeah, he's Chase. He's on the practice squad. He hasn't been promoted yet.
Like, Eastern Oregon.
Like Riley McCarron. But the reason I bring that up is not, look, it could work out for them, but you can't say it's part of the master plan because you don't know that the Jets are going to release Chad Hansen, right? You don't know that Detroit's not going to keep Billingsley. I mean, you can guess.
But they'll release somebody. There'll be somebody there.
You know, you don't know that Riley McCarron's not going to get picked up, because the same people that will say it's part of the master plan will all tell you, well, they knew Riley McCarron wouldn't get picked up, dummy. That's why they cut him. Will be the same ones who'd be like, look how many Patriots got claimed off the waiver wire. Oh, seven guys got claimed that they cut. So how can it be both? Can it be, it can't be, oh, you know, all these guys that were with the Patriots, all these other teams claim, and they do claim these guys because they respect Bill. That happens. But at the same time, if you cut Riley McCarron and he comes back on the practice squad and you promote him and he's great, it's like, well, it doesn't matter that you ever cut him in the initial 53 to begin with. You were always counting on him to
okay.
be there.
Okay, so we got that on the table with Gasper. I want to ask you about Brady and his documentary this week. Says he's going to play five more years or wants to play five more years. Do you believe him?
I believe that he wants to, but I also think he sort of inserted some outs in there. It's going to be really, really hard, really, really difficult. I mean, I think I can do it, but it's going to be really, really difficult.
Yeah, I felt this. I don't think it was as definitive as everyone played it, but keep going.
No. I mean, he counted the years, and I think it's still a desire, but I think he's given himself a little bit of an out there. And the out is not just saying it's going to be really, really hard. It's talking about, well, this is the first time I really took a break. I wasn't enjoying football as much as I should have been the last couple of years. You know, physically playing till 45 is going to be really, really hard. I think he's sort of giving himself a little bit of an out now to, if he doesn't make it there, or if he just decides he doesn't want to do it. You know, he might be 43 years old and still playing at a really high level, which I can do. I think he can play at this level for another 3 years, 41, 42, 43. He might be 43 playing at a high level and say, you know what, I don't want to come back at age 44. I'm good. I'm done with this. And so I think he's sort of leaving himself a little bit of an out.
And do you think he may?
To 45?
Yep.
I don't know. I think the tug of the family is a little too much. And just knowing just a little bit, you know, about Tom's upbringing, his relationship with his dad, how much that meant to him, means to him, how he evaluates that. I do think there is something to the idea of him really wanting to be there for his kids now that they're old enough. I think that's a real tug, and I think that would tug on anybody.
Now that Garoppolo's gone.
I mean, I didn't hear the thing about this, right? Exactly, man.
No, look, I mean,
in the previous 4 years, I didn't hear a thing about this.
I mean, I'm not trying to be a wise ass, but again.
But you do it so well.
How old is his kid? 12? His oldest? 12?
Yeah, 0 to 8 doesn't count.
So what, when he was 10, he didn't matter?
Nope.
Like, once you get to 12, once he approached teenagers,
it's important to be a dad.
No, 12 is a number.
No.
He's a dad years coming up.
11 doesn't count.
They're dad.
When you're 7, meaningless.
0 to 9, go see mom. Go see mom. I want nothing to do with you. I'm busy. I'm playing football. 10? No, not yet. 12? Okay, I'm home.
But he's talked about this before, though. So you're being funny and you're raising some valid points. But he's talked about this at the last couple of Super Bowls, hasn't he? You know, it's all about me. There's all these sacrifices that have to be made. Everybody in their life has to sacrifice for me. I mean, I feel like he's felt this tug for a little bit. I think he felt he talked about this, you know, back when they won Super Bowl 51. So and Garoppolo was still here. Because I remember talking to Garoppolo that week when he compared himself to Aaron Rodgers, Matt. So, you know, I think that this has been sort of building for a while. But the problem is, when you build your whole sort of, like, you know, pliability brand and the TB12 thing on being able to beat time and stave off aging, it's kind of hard to say, well, yeah, I'm going to play till 45 and then say, nah, I don't want to do it. Because then people are going to look at you and say, it's not that you didn't want to do it, it's that you can't do it. And then all this stuff you're talking about doesn't work as well as you say it does. So I think he's sort of caught there. You know, from the post-career business side, he sort of needs to deliver on this promise of 45. On the other side of it, it's like, he just might not want to play until 45.
I'm telling you, at the end of the day, he's going to screw him over. He's going to screw Kraft over at the end of the day, and he's going to leave earlier than Kraft thought he was going to leave. Whether that's next year, this year, I don't know, but he's not. I bet you he doesn't get to the 3 years. I bet you he doesn't get to the 3 with Garoppolo gone. I bet it's a max of this year and next, and then sayonara, I'm out.
Okay, more on this coming up. Dan Shaughnessy went down to Gillette today, thank God, and had a back and forth with Brady about Guerrero as Tom Brady shows up in his pliability T-shirt. So we'll play that for you coming up in a little bit. But I had a third thing for Gasper. One was the receivers, who was Brady's timeline. And third is something he wrote yesterday about Saber, Belichick, and Brady, because when it ends, it ends. And, you know, it's sort of a standard take there. I'm not disparaging it, but it's, you know, it's like
standard take. I wrote August 27th before I went on vacation. Yeah.
You wrote this August 27th?
Yes, I did.
And they ran it September 7th?
Yeah, it's NFL preview stuff. I wrote it right before I left to go to Europe.
Well, I've got that.
And Maz knows how that goes, right? You got to write something. Yeah. You got to write something that's going to hold up.
Well, so, I used to write season previews in January.
So I'm not disagreeing with you that it's a lukewarm take, but how hot a take can you have if it's not going to hold up in 10 days?
No, if you tell me it's going to run in 3 months or three weeks, right, you're
right. The take has to hold, right?
But it has to be, as we call evergreen.
Yes.
You said savor these seasons with Belichick and Brady, folks. We don't know how many we have left, and we'll long for them wistfully when they're gone, when Fort Foxborough is transformed into a mundane NFL outpost. Later, you go on to say, you make another allusion to that. No organization has an endless supply of football excellence. No empire, football or otherwise, endures forever. The sun will set on the Patriots dynasty just as it did on the San Francisco 49ers one. Enjoy it while you can. So you believe we're headed to the Niners territory? You know, after the Niners run ended, they did. They imploded and went to the bottom of the league for a long time. You think when these guys retire, we're just another mundane NFL outpost?
I think it will happen sooner rather than later. Now, remember, there were a couple of things here. When we talk about the 49ers dynasty, we can talk about the Super Bowls. There's also the consecutive winning seasons in there. I believe there was a losing season in there with Mariucci, but then they bounced back and they were, you know, they were okay. And then they were like dreadful.
It continued through basically the end of Mariucci. I mean, that's what I consider that Niners run.
But there was like a losing season in there with
Mariucci. They had two, actually, 4-12 and 6-10.
It like ended the streak. And then they came back and they were like a playoff team, right?
Correct. Then they went 12-4
exactly.
And 10-6 with Mariucci.
And then they were just dreadful after that. So I'm alluding more to what Maz, like, where it's like winning season, losing season, miss the playoffs. Winning season, losing season. Like, you're not going to have this run where it's just like every year, mark it down, first round by AFC East. You're going to be like every other sort of NFL outpost. You could be good this year. You might not be good. You'll have high expectations. You could go 7-9. You could go 6-10. It's like back to reality. That's the NFL.
Okay, so like I sort of get that.
Yes.
But that Niners thing just absolutely implode. You know, the infighting, family issues, like the ownership just totally imploded. Why can't the Patriots be Pittsburgh? I mean, would you say Pittsburgh is a mundane NFL outpost? Or for the most part?
I mean, well, you always have the history, the tradition.
It's not just history.
Okay.
But, you know, and I'm late here.
So when Louis Lips was there, like, were people like, those Steelers. Yeah, Louis Lips. That team's great.
I think for the most part, the Steelers have always been a legit, viable, interesting NFL outpost.
In the mid-80s, when you were watching the USFL.
Nope, there was maybe a little dip here or there, but for the most part, I'm late. I have to get out of here.
Okay.
But I think, to me, the goal is to be the Steelers and the Steelers organization. We'll pick this up on the other side.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
If I'm going to do something at this point, it's going to be because I enjoy it. The last couple years, a lot of parts about football weren't enjoyable when they should have been. Some of it was my approach.
I was lazy. That don't win championships.
And you know, I think anytime you're together with people for a long period of time, relationships ebb and flow. And I think people are just, they're looking for something to write and talk about.
You know, one of the guys that gets brought up a lot when you bring up Tom Brady is Alex Guerrero. I'm curious.
So is Brady different?
Has changed at all in the last
in addition
year,
to the West
they wanted to talk about a lot of drama, and I'm sure a lot of teams have things like that, but ours is just to the 10th degree. I'm learning to deal with it better. I don't still get that much anymore about anything, you know. Like, I think a lot of keeping things in perspective, like, nothing's that big a deal to me anymore. And maybe I'm just caring about certain things that really matter, like my family, like, you know, people's health, you know, like life and death. But to worry about a lot of bull that people may say or think or feel, like, I really don't care anymore.
Okay, so this is something I want to hit on with Chris, and Brady continuing to want it both ways.
Two-face?
Yes, very much so. But just quickly following up on the thing about where the Patriots are going after this, what I'm driving at is that for years I've had to have, you know, the Patriot way, meaning their business model, shoved down my throat. That the reason they win so much is because how they manage the salary cap and their value system and how they run their business like all their other businesses, and how smart the crafts are, and how smart the organization is, and how smart they are, and smart and smart and smart and smart and smart and smart they are. So if that's true, when Brady and Belichick leave, they should be able to remain competitive. They should become this version of the Steelers, which they're not great every year, but since I've been a kid, They've had three head coaches and have usually been a competitive, viable football team almost every year. They just have been. And I think they've been a good model for generational success, long-term, decade-after-decade success, because there's something about the way the Rooneys run it that works. So if the Crafts are that, then this should continue to work. Not every year. Every year you'll have a little 7-9, 6-10. But they should never bottom out like the Niners did. They should never bottom out like some of these other teams did and never implode like these other teams did. They should be the Steelers if their business models are as smart and as solid as everyone has told me. That's all. On this, Brady, in that cut there, says, you know, he says that, come out and says the last couple of years wasn't as enjoyable as it should have been. So he comes out and says in his own words, I'm not happy, or I wasn't happy with some things. And then in the next breath, he turns around and blames people for creating the noise. When he just told you that the star quarterback, captain of the team, is not happy. So, like, people are creating noise by just repeating what you just said about how you're not happy? Oh, that's absurd. That's someone wanting it both ways.
No, I think that's a valid criticism. Yeah, I do. I think that's a completely valid criticism. You know, the Tom versus Time thing was something he decided to do. And he opened himself up for better and for worse. And I think that when he talks about that and says, you know, I was, again, if it's not the proper context, then that's your forum to provide the context. And not only that, you have final say on that, right? So you don't have to worry about it being distorted by the media. You don't have to worry about people like us creating noise. You can set the record straight right there. And that's one of those ones where I feel like, and you guys both know this, having been in the media business and being a writer, sometimes what people don't say tells you more than what they do say.
Absolutely.
And the fact that he didn't just completely squash it and then tried to sort of, you know, do the like fake news thing, you know, the Foxborough fake news thing down there. Like, you know, oh, it's these other people creating this thing. Like, this is no big deal. But that he didn't come right out and say and completely squash the whole thing and say there was never a rift, there was never this, I never stayed away. To me, that's telling.
In fact, Chris, I would say he did the opposite. He fanned the flames at the very least. He sits down with Jim Gray and he says, I plead the fifth. He sits down with Oprah sooner rather than later. And then he has the audacity. And I've said this a million times, but this line in camp really pissed me off. When he said, I feel like a broken record. I've said all along I want to play till I'm 45. Well, yeah, but you've also said that you're unhappy here, that you feel unappreciated by your coach, and that your retirement is coming sooner rather than later. Like, so tell us in precise, exact terms how you feel. And he can't do it.
And not only that, though, but that creates the drama. It's his own words are creating the drama. I mean, we make up plenty of stuff. But on this, we're just repeating what he said. So when he comes out and says the last couple of years wasn't as enjoyable as it should have been, that's a major thing to say for the team captain, the most important player and the steer of the franchise, to come out and say the last couple of years weren't as enjoyable as they should have been. That's a major story and a major statement. But we're creating noise by just repeating it? And so, you know, I think, did you see the Patriots pump-up video today?
I did not.
So released a pump-up video where they said, now it's time for us to create our own noise. And they started off by putting all these talking heads in a box of nine different squares with, like, Rob Parker, Stephen A. Smith, us, Felger and Maz, Colin Coward, Max Kellerman, all sort of talking crap about the Patriots.
We get the middle square, Kurt.
Okay, yeah, and Felger and Maz were...
Was Tony La Russa in there?
Squarely in the middle. No, he wasn't. Why?
Oh, okay, just curious. No, just people that feed the fire of, you know, the feud. Just curious.
Does Tony La Russa feed the fire of the feud?
Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't.
What are you talking about? I have no idea what that means. Explain what that means.
I mean,
La Russa's close with Belichick.
Yes.
Right? I don't want to speculate on people's sources, but going back to the Wickersham story.
I mean, Jimmy's been on this for a while, too.
Yeah, La Russa spends more time in Foxborough than he does at Fenway.
I love this idea.
But this is my point. This is my point.
I think he has a driver and everything.
Thank you. So you're preaching to the choir here. I didn't understand what you meant by that. That the Patriots have created the noise. Brady has created so much noise with this Tom versus Time thing that, you know, it's easy to blame Max Kellerman and Felger and Maz and Rob Parker. But again, then in your little nine box there, Matt Smith or Stacey James or whoever, why don't you put Tom? Why don't you put Giselle in there that Tom made sure got into the documentary saying he wants to go somewhere where he has fun and feels appreciated. Why don't you put that in there? Or some of the quotes from his father on the record. Why don't you put that in one of your little squares there? Or La Russa dropping dimes or whatever. Like, the noise has come out of there, not out of here.
So, again, I think they want it both ways, and Brady sort of did it again today, quickly. He wears a pliability T-shirt. Again, not a major bomb or anything, but, you know, pliability. That's his T-shirt. So Shaughnessy, of course, starts asking him about Guerrero.
And you've talked a lot to us about Alex over the years, what he means to you. In this spirit, has there been any change in his availability to you on road trips and game days? And are you satisfied with the current arrangement?
Yeah, Alex and we work together. You know, I don't want to bring on any drama this year. You know, just focus on what I want to do.
You know, he says, I don't want to bring in any drama. But yet, the pliability T-shirt is just going to invite question. You're throwing it right in our face, but you don't want to be asked about it? And then yet you release the epilogue of your six-part docuseries in which you say you weren't as happy here or wasn't as enjoyable as it should have been. The last couple of years for you were monotonous and cyclical. But yet you don't want to create any drama?
This year.
Like, come on, man.
This year.
I thought that was interesting, too. He said, this year.
Yeah, I don't want to create any drama this year.
That would imply that he was part of the drama last year. Which allegedly we all created. You know, they had nothing to do with it.
Listen, I'm telling you, I'm convinced. I think part of the final episode of the Tom versus Time was in part him trying to just, like, turn the whole thing off. Like, here's where I am. I want to play five more years. I think it's going to be hard to do, but that's where I am. Let's go. Let's play football.
Does wearing the pliability T-shirt help that?
No. I mean, that thing today, that's bad.
Well, I don't know how bad it is.
I don't think it's bad.
When I say it's, he does have every right to wear it. But
it's
when
not
I say,
bad. It's not. Is it making the problem better or worse?
Well, that's what I mean.
I mean,
In
which direction are we going here? So it's not bad. It's a subtle thing, but it's still. Like, if he wants just to bury all of it and not play into the drama, he's not wearing an Alex Guerrero T-shirt there today.
No, because he wants the good parts that come along with the TB12 and the pliability, which is he wants to be able to market it, but he doesn't want to acknowledge the friction it caused with the coach. Like, so again, he wants the good part of it, not the bad part of it. I just feel like he's talked out of both sides of his mouth for months.
And thus created the drama. Thus created the...
Well, it wasn't all him, though. There's another side to this.
No, and Chris, thank you for that thing on La Russa. I appreciate that. No, I always went Mike Lombardi on that. Maybe it's both. Who knows? But fair enough.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Every afternoon, Felger and Mass bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, let's take some phones with Gasper. Here's Jerry on the couch for Gasper. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Actually, I got up, and now I am putting laundry away. But essentially, I had a quick question for you. It's kind of a conspiracy theory. So what do you think about the fact that Tom Brady could potentially be masking a potential physical ailment or the potential for one and saying, you know, I want to spend more time with my family right now? But really, he's just trying to say, like, okay, I don't want to get injured and then hurt my brand later on. So essentially, he's saying, I want to be with my family, but really, he can retire earlier to, quote, be with his family, but really just protect himself from the inevitability of just getting old and not being as good and not being able to spread the same message as he's trying to.
I don't think that's it, Jerry. I think the family is a total
ruse.
Yeah, a total, smokescreen for... What? I don't know. It's not hiding an injury, but it's messing with Bill, leveraging the team for a better contract, just frustrated with Bill and screw you, I'm not going to show up, you know, when you tell me to anymore. But publicly says, I got to spend time with my family. I don't believe the family thing. I just don't. I'm sorry. I mean, when Garoppolo was here, I didn't hear a damn thing about the family. When Garoppolo was here, Brady was the first one in, the last one out. He did the entire offseason, perfect attendance, parking spot, the whole nut. Then Garoppolo leaves, and all of a sudden... He's got to go spend time with the family. It's bunk. He's messing with Bill or leveraging the team.
So you don't think there's any pressure on the home front?
Oh, no, I do. But I think that he always withstood it. I mean, what? So how did the pressure from Giselle increase between 2017 and 2018?
She's gotten more naggy. No. He was whispering at home that he wanted to play five more years.
Well, how about after they won the Super Bowl, right? And she was like, okay, you're going to retire now, right? Like, and he was like, no. And how about when Tom versus Time, when the questions are being asked with the two of them, were they Costa Rica about how much longer he's going to be? He's literally looking at the camera like, I thought you said we weren't going to do this. Don't do this with her here. Don't do this. And the Oprah interview, she's sitting off to the side.
Right.
Sitting off. And he's like, oh, you know, I can see the end now. And she's sitting right. Like, what? Every time she's around and he's asked about it,
I believe you.
He equivocates on the, what the answer is. And I don't think that's an accident.
Right, but I think she's always been applying pressure. I don't think she has ever given, you know, other than the fame it has brought him in the crossover world, has given two poops about American football. She just doesn't. So I think she wanted him to retire 3 years ago. But we never heard it because he was Johnny on the spot.
Yeah, but at some point you want to make it stop. Whatever they're nagging you about, Mike, you know that. And again,
make it go away.
If you watch that final, the epilogue episode, you know, you were asking, why is Brady whispering, I'd like to play five more years?
See, look.
They're recording it in the house. Who else lives there?
She does. Have you heard this? How faint he is?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's amazing. Jimmy, if you have the clip.
I
watched it, but I didn't notice that.
No. So when you hear it, and I said it's still Brady being wishy-washy because he didn't even want to say it strongly because you can barely hear it. It's like, yeah, I want to play five more.
And the poor producer's probably like, hey, speak up, will you? How many years?
Louder.
I want to play five more years.
Because he's in his living room.
Did you tell them play five more years? Is that what you... No. I said I like shopping at Sears. Jesus.
Here, go play.
I would love to play five more years. I would love to play 41, 42, 43, 44, 45.
See, that's an obvious thing.
You guys did something to the sound.
No, Chris, we didn't. Go watch your Facebook.
It was poorly mixed. Like, amp his mic up and turn the music down.
No. Go ahead.
Technical Jimmy over there.
Go, Murray.
Yeah. So, Tom, can you say that again?
I'd like to play
five more years. 41, 42. We can't hear you. Do we need to mic you better? No, I can't tell you right now. I want to play five more years. What? Did you tell them five more? Did you say play five more years? No, I want to have five more beers. It's been a long day. Tough practice. Oh, Jesus. Five more years. That's all. I just want to play five more years. Boost it. Boost it in post. Just boost it in post-production. I want to play five more years.
They could have done a better job boosting it, Jimmy.
See, this is what I just did to Murray.
Jesus.
Here, go play.
I could do it.
All right.
We get the idea.
I could do it. That's the line of the day.
What are you doing back there, Jimmy?
So listen, of course she's nagging him. Of course she's bugging him. I think she's always been bugging him. And I think that now he's playing into it because he doesn't have a back.
But can you imagine? And I said, seriously, we always think, we tend to not think of these people as human beings. Tom Brady's a human being. Can you imagine the pressure between Giselle and Bill? Like, that's what you go from home to work, home to work. Those two personalities. No wonder he says the last couple of years of football, he hasn't enjoyed it as much. Like, that's not easy.
Listen, I think it's entirely possible Giselle has amped up the pressure. That's totally conceivable.
What about the concussion thing last year?
But what has changed? Does anyone believe that his relationship with Bill is the same as it was 3 years ago?
Well, he said relationships ebb and flow. He basically alluded to that.
Okay, but this is the point. He skipped the OTAs because he's given the finger to Bill. It's, the whole thing is, I'm not going to put in the time I did before because you bust my chops when I'm around, so I'm only going to come to the mandatory stuff. His wife might have amped up the pressure. It's not the predominant reason. It's not. It's a reason. It's part of the equation. But his relationship with Belichick has reached the point where the two of them are just getting sick of each other. I mean, to me, it's really that simple. They're just getting sick of each other. And Bill had a guy ready to replace Brady. He had a guy in line ready to replace him. The owner made him trade him. So Bill's pissed about that. And now, there you go. Tom won the power struggle and he's giving Bill the finger. I don't think it's that complicated.
I just like the fact that you cannot show up to work, blow the entire thing off, and still be named captain. I think that's a great development down there in Foxborough. Long commercial-free segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jasper, you take umbrage with my thought that Brady should not be captain.
I'm okay with it. I'm just telling you, there's a reason he's captain. There's always a reason, Dan.
Okay, well... You know what I think the reason is?
What?
They just didn't want to deal with the bleep show of the headline, you know, Belichick strips Brady of his captaincy after 18 straight
years. Oh, that's a pretty good reason. I was going to say, I think the reason is because he took that contract and it suppresses the salaries for the rest of the team, which is what he's done pretty much since 2001. That alone should make you a captain. I mean, the Patriots
are... It's a good point.
The Patriots are in like a parallel universe when it comes to finances. compared to these other teams based on the contracts that are out there. And when the best player, not only on your team, but the best player in the league, the best player probably in the history of the league, arguably, you know, I think a lot of people would say Jim Brown, but Tom's up there, right? When he is paid at that level, are you going to run in there and say you want to renegotiate your contract? I mean, it sort of put Gronk in a box, didn't it? So, I mean, that alone, if one of the stipulations for being a captain is showing that you'll sacrifice for the team, well, Brady's done that with his paycheck all the time, and he just did it again. So here you go. You deserve to be captain.
Okay. I think it's more the first thing. I mean, he definitely, when I say he didn't, so that is a sacrifice for the team and doing something they really, really like, no question about it. I just think, you know, when you look at, well, how does Gronk lose it but not Brady? How does Gronk lose it and not Brady?
Because I think Gronk agitated more, even though he claimed, and my colleague Ben Volen, I thought, wrote a really good column, sort of reading between the lines of what Gronk, you know, saying he's satisfied and he's happy and all this other stuff. But I think Gronk sort of agitated for it more in terms of the nuke, and Gronk's done it year after year, and it seems like Gronk is someone who is not willing to. And by the way, I'm with Gronk on this. Like, I'd like to see Brady be more like Gronk. Like, get that money, son. But at the end of the day, I think Gronk agitates more to be paid outside of the Patriots pay scale. So that, in combination with the motocross giant FU and the other situation of not going to any of this offseason stuff, I think knocked him off. Plus, like, we all love Gronk. Like, he plays hard. His heart's in the right place and all that stuff. But does he exactly scream leader to you? Would you be like, you know, this is somebody that I want men to follow?
He was a captain last 2 years.
Yeah.
Or three or something.
Yeah. So was Daniel Graham when they were trying to placate him, when they weren't giving him enough money. Daniel Graham was a captain. Sometimes the captain thing is a carrot. It's not necessarily the most fitting people, which is why I've never believed that they actually use only the players' vote for these.
No,
captains.
Please.
Are you kidding
me?
No.
The players vote. Then Bill grabs the ballots and flushes them down the toilet. And then he says, you're captain.
This captaincy vote is like the Russian election. I mean, there's no way that it's just pure, what the people vote.
No, it's a good example.
It's a sham.
It's the Russian election. Like in North Korea. The North Korean election, more like. So anyway, I just think, ordinarily speaking, a guy that blows off the entire offseason, a quarterback who doesn't go to the passing camp, instead of going to a passing camp, goes and plays patty cake with a race car driver in Monaco off a boat.
And one of the Hadids. Which one was it, Murray? Do we know?
I think it was Bella.
I don't know.
Bella or Gigi?
One of them.
It kind of matters because Gigi's really up there. Bella's not.
With the Hadids?
Models, like Instagram models.
They're real models.
Oh, well, either
like
way.
High fashion
whatever.
Models.
Yeah, whatever.
Well,
it makes a difference.
Filter.
I mean, you know.
It used to be no days off. It used to be no shortcuts. Now, if you're a star player, you can screw off the entire offseason. You'll still be a captain.
So I mean, it should have been neither or both with Gronk and Brady. Neither or both. Like, you know, this is just, it was probably a deal cut with Kraft. He said, fine, you want to take it away from Gronk, go ahead, but you're giving it to Brady. And Kraft probably had to negotiate the thing for crying out loud.
Maybe the players just simply didn't vote for Gronk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's entirely true. That's entirely possible. All right, Gasper, what do you think about this week?
It's interesting. I mean, interesting opponent, right? You'd say on paper that Houston has some of the attributes you need to beat the Patriots, but it seems like the Bill O'Brien teams never deliver in these games, particularly from a coaching standpoint. I mean, God,
agreed.
Did they lose to Jacoby Brissett? I mean, ugh. So, but I'm excited to see Deshaun Watson. I think we've sort of forgotten about him in terms of what he did. I mean, it was 19 touchdown passes in 7 games, and he was leading the league at that point. So maybe he's the difference. So the exciting thing for me is to see Watson versus this Patriots defense, because I feel like this defense can be better than last year's defense, and this should be a good test for them. Ultimately, I like the Patriots because they're at home and because I just think Belichick has something over Bill O'Brien at this point.
What about offensively, Gasper? Brady have enough?
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I want to see what happens here with, and I know the injury report came out, but I think they have big plans for Jacob Hollister, so hopefully he can go. When we talk about the wide receivers, I think they're almost going to kind of flip him in there, and you saw a little bit of it last year of him in sort of a wide receiver-like role, so I don't know. It looks like he's, with this hamstring situation, he's questionable, but overall, I would say, you know, enough to win this game, sure.
So hold on, Jacob Hollister's a guy they're going to...
I think Hollister's a guy that they're going to lean on. Yeah, I do. I think they could try. I mean, I'm not saying he's Aaron Hernandez, but you could line him up in similar ways. And Hernandez was really more of a wide receiver at times than a tight end. I think Hollister has some of that ability to be utilized in that way.
How do you feel about that, Maz? Jacob Hollister.
Look, I don't mind him in spot duty here and there. I think Hollister's got good hands. He holds on to the ball.
So, but as a like a long-term answer, no way. What, are you crazy? No, they need a legit guy. So there are players short there unless everyone stays healthy and everything goes perfectly, which the chances of that are borderline microscopic. Like, so look, what I'm worried about, Chris, is that there's no Edelman there. You know, Gronk's going to have three guys hanging on him, I think. And so
one of them could be the Honey Badger. I feel like no one's talked about the fact the Honey Badger.
So you tell me, can Honey Badger match up? I mean,
no one can match up one on one. But I mean, they have two safeties that have cornerback experience, and Tyrann Mathieu and Kareem Jackson. I think that could be an X factor for the Texans. They have two safeties that can actually cover.
So I just think that Houston can bring pressure, and Brady might not have a lot of places to go under pressure, and he's got, you know, I don't want to say a new offensive line because that's not right, but a new left tackle. And I honestly, I worry about Brady taking a shot in a game like this. That's what scares me. Because, you know automatically that if there's a blitz situation or somebody blows the pressure, he's going to know where Edelman is all the time. He's not going to have that. So he'll go to Oh, right. He's not here either. Sorry, forgot. And Gronk's going to have four guys hanging on him. Like, I just think there's a chance of Brady holding the ball a little longer and getting killed.
Where do you guys stand on Hogan?
I like him as a third, fourth guy. He scares me as a number one. He's not good enough. It's just not what he is. And I mean, like, is he the slot? Is that a slot guy? I mean, I he can do it. I don't think that that's traditionally his skill set. I don't know. What do you got? You're smirking.
No, I'm just asking it because I think we're not mentioning it. I think that's a guy they're going to lean on a lot, and we'll see. You know, I tend to agree with you. I think he's great as a third guy, but when you elevate him to the number one guy, and it's a different matchup for him, right? And so when he has to sort of get elevated there in that hierarchy and he gets a better cornerback,
it
would be harder.
Can't beat man coverage.
But I would say the thing is, I don't think the Texans' corners are great. I mean, Jonathan Joseph is 34 years old. They have this Kevin Johnson kid. I mean, he's okay, but they got Aaron Colvin. I don't think their corners are the greatest. I don't. I think the Patriots will win this game, but it'll be a little bit of a grind.
Well, hold on. So check out the Globe, Maz. Staff predictions against the spread. New England by 6. Ben Volen, Houston. Scott Thurston. Who's that?
He's an editor.
He's the assistant sports editor.
Scott Thornton, Houston.
Thurston.
Nora Princiotti, Houston. Jim McBride, Houston. Christopher L. Gasper. They even put the L in this.
Yeah. Lee.
Houston.
Yeah. I'm another inside baseball thing. So I was overseas and I told them they could make those picks for me. So I didn't make any of those picks for me.
That is so weak.
Excuse maker.
Sorry.
So you really have the bats? You shouldn't tell people that because they think you're actually making these picks.
No, I do. I've been doing the picks since 2006. I've won about 3 times. But this is one of the few times I didn't do it. I was overseas. There's a 6-hour time difference.
They don't have email? In Europe?
I did not have access to email at that time.
How do you not have access to email in Europe?
Because I didn't want to pay for it.
You cheap bastard.
That I respect. That I actually respect that. I respect that.
Oh, so you would rather...
They want $17.99 for this? Screw it. Just make the picks for me.
Same guy that will go around the block 19 times to find a space. He refuses to go in a garage.
Oh, I'll do
that. You should see what it's like going out with this guy at
South Boston Seaport. Look, I pay taxes. I own these streets. Why do I have to park in a garage?
I own these streets. Gasper, thanks for coming in.
Good to see you guys.
We'll see you next Friday.
You cheap bastard.
Hour left. I have an agenda-free Friday. Write your phones, I promise. After Murray's update, no commercials.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.